Get ready to be transformed, inspired, and serenely blessed as you listen to the Word of God from Pastor A.B. Prepare your hearts. You never remain the same again. God bless you as you listen.
Join this church, but I'm not sure. So who is he asking? His unbelieving friend that doesn't go to church. Is that smart? Of course not. He's like asking a ritualist how he got his money. He'll tell you how he got his money. You have to kill your own son. Praise the Lord. So he's saying, don't walk like them. You're different. Say, I'm different. Yes, you are. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God to the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Now, this is where I'm going to look at it again. It says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Now, there's a word, there's a term I want you to notice there. Praise the Lord. Some of you just holding your hands looking at me. Can this come on? What's the problem? Okay. If you're folding your hands looking at me, I feel so sad for you. But you should be looking at your Bible. Who has an extra for those who don't have? So you can share. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because how are you going to follow me now? Anyway, just try. It says, being alienated from the life of God. That is where I'm going to. It says, they are alienated, unbelievers, from the life of God. You know, at times when Christians say, I have the life of God in me, some people think we just made that up. You know, I have the life of God. So how can you have God's life inside of you? And they think it's not in the Bible. But look at it here. It says, unbelievers are alienated, separated from the life of God. What does that tell you? It means believers have the life of God. That's what he's saying. This is not trying to bring out something that is not there. Look into your Bible. Verse 18. He says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. That means the life of God has been made available for the world. Think about it. This is a big deal. The life that God lives has been made available. But he's saying some people are alienated from it. They are separated from it. They cannot understand how that life operates. And that's why you have people that even if right now, there's someone who is crippled and the person begins to walk, they will think it's fake. Even if they're in the same compound with that person, they'll think throughout the person has been pretending. Why? Because they are alienated from the life of God. Their understanding has been darkened. There is nothing you can say that would change their minds. But you're not like that. Do you understand? You have the life of God. And so you understand the things of God. Praise the Lord. The Bible tells us in John chapter 9. And anytime I think of John chapter 9, I don't question miracles. There are people that say, no, there's some miracles you question. Don't question anyone. Just mind your business. Do you understand? When you walk miracles in the name of Jesus, question your own. Alright? The Bible says in John chapter 9, a man had not seen from birth. And so Jesus was walking by. All right, they almost killed him in chapter 8. You go read it. So he escaped. So while he was escaping, they saw the man that was blind. And the disciples asked him, said, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents that was born blind? He just said, no, the man didn't sin. The man didn't sin. And then the Bible says, he made clay from spit. Do you understand? Praise the Lord. Some of you spit everywhere. You've not healed anybody yet. But the day Jesus spits, something happened. Praise the Lord. So he made clay from the spit and then he rubbed the man's eyes and he told him, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. We get Jesus. The man can't see. Alright? He's already blind. Then you made it worse. You put sand. That's putting sand in someone's eye for sure.
You put sand in his eye, then you tell him to trek to a pool. He might fall into the pool. But it's an act of faith. Do you understand? You have to have corresponding actions. You say you have faith, they are your actions. So then you go and wash. But the man went and he washed and began to see. Now here's the thing. When his neighbors saw him, they said, is this not the man? They were asking themselves, he was there. They said, is this not the man that was blind? They said, he's the one. Someone says, no, he's not the one. The man was right there. Then he tells him, please, I'm the one. I was blind, now I see. Now here's the point. The Pharisees were so upset with that miracle, they didn't want to believe it was him. They had to call his parents. Think about it. Just to prove that Jesus actually did not heal him, they called his parents. Two of them, not just one. In the mouth of two witnesses. So two of them. They called and said, is this your son? What I'm saying, I'm just quoting John 9 for you. Go back and read it. Is this your son that was born blind? They said, yes, he's the one. Pay attention to me. I pay attention to me. Is this your son that was born blind? They said, yes, he's the one. He said, they asked him, how come he now sees? They said, we don't know. Why? Because the word of Christ, he said, anyone confesses that Jesus is the Christ, you should put out of the synagogue. So they said, we don't know. But here's my point, and that's why I said, I don't question miracles. Because they were so bent to prove that the miracle did not happen. Alright? That they called the man's parents. When the man's parents did not agree, they asked the man again. The man answered and said, "Do you want to be his disciple? Why are you asking me again?" And he said, "Come for me. We are Moses' disciple. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this man, we don't know where he's from." Think about it. I just want to tell you.
I can attend to that.
They said, "We know that God spoke to Moses." How did they know? They were not there. They just said it. Do you understand? So could have lied. But they were so sure in what they could not see.
Because they were willing to doubt that which they could see. And so you don't question. You just believe what God can do. Thank God for the man that was healed. Do you understand? You can say the minister is fake. Fine. But thank God for the one that received healing. Praise the Lord. Yeah. But my point is, unbelievers are alienated from the life of God. So they can't understand some of these things. So don't blame them. And then don't be pressured by them. And don't feel shy. Now you have a testimony. Actually, you laid your hands on your own head. The headache disappeared. And you're happy. But you cannot tell your friend why. Because he might laugh at you. Then you need a new friend. Are you in this place? Have friends that all of you will go to heaven together. You know, I tell my siblings often, I say, "I'm so grateful because we're not just siblings on earth, but in heaven, we see ourselves. We are siblings there. Praise the Lord. We already planned how we'll be seeing ourselves in heaven." All right. Verse 18 again. He says, "Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them." So the life of God is up.
Born again, you receive a new life.
It's just common sense. For a man to be alive, there must be life inside of him. So when a baby is born, he has life. If the baby dies during birth, he's not alive. Now, Jesus says you must be born again. That means he's taken away the old life and he's giving you something new. So, which new life is that? You have to ask your new daddy. Because the old life you got from your old daddy. So now, the new life you have, who's the new daddy? God himself. And so, yes, you have the life of God. Praise the Lord. There's a popular scripture. It says, "All have sinned." No, you don't know it. It says, "All have sinned," and what? It says, "All." Romans 3, verse 23. Romans 3. Check your Bible. Some of you are just looking at me. Romans 3, verse 23. When you come to church, you know, when Jesus went to the synagogue, they gave him Bible to read. And he opened it. Opened to Isaiah 61. Go check Luke 4. You see it there. So Jesus gave hard Bible in synagogue. Who are you? Romans 3 verse 23. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. If you're there, say, "I'm there." It says, "For all have sinned and come short of what? The glory of God." This is what sin costs. This is it. It says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That is the main thing with sin. It robs man of the ability to participate with the glory of God. That's what he's saying. He said, "They come short." You know what it means to come short? It's like when you send in your application for a job interview, but they are looking for those with PhD. And you have every other thing they are looking for, but you don't even have masters. What happened? You have come short of getting that job because you lack something. Do you understand? So he's saying, God's glory is available for man. But because all have sinned, they have come short. Meaning God is not covetous about his glory. Sin is the problem. Praise the Lord. Now, was it everybody's fault that they came short? No, it was one man that sinned. Are you paying attention to me? Who's that man? Who's that man? Some call him Adam, others Adam, some Adamu. Still the same person. Alright? He says, all have sinned and come short, but it was one man that sinned. It was one man. Romans 5 verse 12. Romans 5 verse 12. Oh, let's start from verse 17. Anyway, go to Romans 5. Verse 12. If you're there, say I'm there. If you're not there, say wait for me. Am I waiting for someone? We are all there. Praise the Lord. Verse 12. It says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into what? Okay, let's read it together. I want to go. Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world. Stop. You know, sometimes people read their Bible, they don't take time to ask questions. He says, it was because of one man sin entered into the world. What does that tell you? It means when God made the world, there was no sin. There was a point when sin entered. Meaning before that point, there was no sin. And because of one man, that's Adam. Let's finish that verse. It's 12. He says, wherefore by one man sin enter into the world and death by sin. So there was a time that death was not in the world. Adam was not thinking to die. Neither was Eve. They had not seen anything or anybody die before. It was when sin entered, then death entered also. Think about that, means things did not grow old. Things did not spoil. In fact, the human body was not meant to die. You replenish, do you understand? Your cells replenish. Adam lived, I always like to say this, so let me digress. Adam lived over 930 years. Think about that. With the same heart. He didn't change his heart at 100 with a goat. Do you understand? Goat heart. And change his brain with monkey at 200. The same heart still beating. Think about it. His heart was beating for over 900 years. Same kidney. Same stomach. Eating everything in this world. Still active. At 900, he still had over 30 years to go. What does that tell you when God made man? He made him durable. Do you understand? He made him to last. So there was nothing like death in God's original plan. But he sinned. And sin came into the world and death, because the wages of sin is death. And God already declared that if he disobeyed him, he would die. Do you understand? Alright. But the sin is sin. He just disobeyed one thing. So think about it. The reason why everybody in this world is born a sinner is because of one man's disobedience. Right? Praise the Lord. The reason why everybody, when you're born into this world, you're born a sinner is because of one man. One man's disobedience. Then what does that tell you about salvation and righteousness? If one man's disobedience can make everybody a sinner, then I think one man's obedience should be able to make everybody righteous. Right? So because of one man's sin, all had come short of the glory of God. That means if one man comes and obeys, then everybody will be able to attain that glory of God. Romans 5. Same chapter. Verse 18. I am glad I belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. I belong to my Lord. Oh, so glad I belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. Praise the Lord. It's so beautiful when you think about it. Adam sinned. And because of that, his sin, everybody that was born from Adam was a sinner. So as long as you can trace your history to Adam, you're a sinner. Then Jesus came and said, you must be born again. The first birth was not good enough because you were born a sinner. So you have to be born again, but this time no longer a sinner, but a righteous child of the living God. Romans 5 verse 18, look at it. This is simple maths. He says, therefore, pay attention. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. God is telling you why everybody is condemned. It's because of one man. Because of the offense of one, not because of your grandfather. No, it's because of that one man, Adam. He says, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, look at it. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. So it is true. If one man's disobedience made everybody a sinner, then one man's obedience will make everybody righteous. Verse 19, I'm just quoting the scripture. It says, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one man shall many be made what? Righteous. And if they're made righteous, that means that thing that the sinner had come short of, the glory of God, they have attained. Praise the Lord. So now, the only thing to obey in this world today, it's not the Ten Commandments. You obey the gospel. That's the only thing left. The obedience of the faith. Go to Romans 1 verse 2. Let me show you that. Romans 1 verse 2. Romans 1 verse 2. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, when you listen to someone's prayer, you know what they really want. Right? You can tell me here, I don't need a car. Who needs a car when I can trek? God gave me natural car. Look at these Benz. Lexus. That's your brand. You don't need a car. Car is vanity. But if I hear you pray and you pray to God, oh God, even if it's golf, just give me a car. Then that is what you really want. Do you understand? Your prayer would expose you. Put that in mind. Romans 1 verse 2. Oh, so, you know, some folks, they say, I'd rather trek than to have this type of car. Have you seen people like that? Or you are like that? So I'd rather trek this type of car. I can't even enter it. Yeah, let rain fall first. It's not even car you look for. It's shade, shade. All right. Romans 1 verse 2. It says, praise the Lord. All right, 1 verse 5. It says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. So there's only one commandment God has for people to obey now. To obey the gospel. Go to Romans 10 verse 16. Romans 10 verse 16. Quickly. 10 verse 16. You see, I have 14 bullet points, and right now we're just in number 4. So, we have to be fast. Verse 16. If you're there, say, I'm there. He says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. Jesus said, you must be born again. When the word must is used, that means you must obey it. Do you understand? There's no suggestion. There's no other option. So, the only thing that is left for man now is to obey the gospel. When you believe that Jesus died for you and you declare that he's Lord of your life, then you are made righteous. What did you do to be born a sinner? You were just born into this world. So obviously, to become righteous is not about what you do. It's about who you are. Do you understand that? Now that you are righteous, you can now live a righteous life. It's common sense. A human being cannot live like a dog because you're not a dog. If we want you to live like a dog consistently, we have to make you a dog. So a sinner cannot do right things consistently because he's not righteous. He's a sinner. But if you want him to live in righteousness consistently, you have to change who he is. And that happens when he becomes born again. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now remember, Romans 3 verse 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I told you that was the problem God had with sin. That was a major problem. Coming short of his glory. Then Jesus comes and he prays in John 17. I told you, you get to know what a man wants by listening to him pray. In John 17 verse 24, he's praying. Go there. John 17 verse 24. You should know this verse by now. John 17, verse 24. You see, the word of God will make you wise. Reading your Bible will make you smart. Are you listening to me? It's true. I'm very smart. Because I read my Bible. Oh, I'm serious. I wonder at the awesomeness of it. My level of comprehension has. Why? Because I spend time with the Word. It's like magic. But it's not magic. Try it. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Right? Remember, if you walk with the wise, you become wise. If you walk with a fool, you be a fool. The Word of God made all things. If you walk with Him, you'll be like Him. And the Word of God is the wisdom of God. So anytime you spend with the Word, you'd express wisdom. Praise the Lord. John 17 verse 24. If you're there, say, I'm there. All right. I read it. It says, Father, Jesus is praying. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. Are you seeing that? Remember, all had sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now Jesus is praying to his Father and saying, my desire is that they will behold my glory. That means that problem that made them come short of this glory will be taken away. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes, let's finish that. He says, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes. And now that we are born again, Jesus is the way to the Father. And we are with the Father now. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So the only job we have is to look, behold his glory. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18, go there. 3 verse 18. Quick. Dear Lord. 3 verse 18. If you're there, say, I'm there. If you're not there, just listen. It says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So now that you are with the Father, you can now behold his glory. You no longer come short of the glory of God. Now he's saying, in beholding his glory, you are changed into the same image. 1 John 3, verse 1. If you're there, say, I'm there. If you're not there, say, wait for me. Verse 1, I read it. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Praise the Lord. They don't know who you are. Do you understand? Someone can be talking to you anyhow. They don't know your Father is a king. Don't blame them. They're ignorant. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Verse 2. It says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now. Not when you get to heaven. Not during rapture. But now, right now, we are the sons of God. It says, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. Meaning that the fullness of your glory is not yet visible. Do you understand? And so you can walk with an unbeliever and they think you are the same. But in truth, you are not the same. You are a child of God. Verse 2. He says, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. I'm thinking people who think they don't want to miss rapture. You don't know the word. He says, when he shall appear, you will notice that you and that person, you are the same. So how can you not go? Do you understand? It's like right now, me and PK, we look different. All right? But imagine if PK becomes the president of the US, all right, and he's in the White House, then I go to the White House to visit him. And the guard said, no, you can't enter. We don't know you. All right? And then for a split second, PK comes out to see who is making noise. It can't be Misha, but I'm just giving you an example. All right? He comes out to see who is making noise. And immediately he comes out.
The guard looks at him and says, okay, this lady, and then he comes back and we are the same. Who would stop you from entering? You will even know who you are stopping. If you are stopping me, you're stopping me too. Because we look exactly alike. That is the ticket to heaven. You must look like the one on the throne. That's the ticket. Now he says, verse 2. He says, Hallelujah. Don't think it's a surprise. God will just surprise you. People are just living their life anyhow. There's no difference between you and an unbeliever. They check your phone, there's no difference. They check what you say, there's no difference. They check what you listen to, there's no difference. Just think it's a surprise. You just die. I can't believe it. Hi! Heaven is fine. It's not a surprise. You must know, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
You must know where you are going to. If you don't know and you're preparing a surprise, you'll be surprised in heaven. You just begin, so this is fine. Alright, verse 2. It says, but we know that men shall appear. Oh, praise the Lord. He says, we shall be like him. Did you see this in your Bible?
Yes,
are you looking at what I'm looking at? He says, we shall appear. We shall be like him. Someone says, if your Bible will stop you from going, how is it possible?
When you look like the person is taking orders from. How is it possible? He says, we shall be like him. He says, for we shall see him as he is. Now remember, he says, as we behold the glory of God, we are changed. He's telling you something. When the word of God talks about behold and seeing, it's different from the way you see things right now. All right? What he's saying is that what you see is what you become. He's saying the reason why we shall be like him is because we will finally see him totally as he is. What does that tell you? It means that right now, it's not about time. It's about exposure. Are you in this place? It's not about time. It's not about the day of judgment. It's about exposure. It says, the reason why we shall be like him, pay attention to me, is because we'll see him as he is. So that means if today I see him as he is, I'll be like him. So whatever part of him that I can see today, I will be like that part. Do you understand? So we no longer come short of the glory of God. We can now fully participate in that glory of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes. That was his dream. That was his request. Praise the Lord. That is what the life of God will give to you. Ephesians 1 verse 17. The good news is, it even gets better. Say, it gets better. You see, we no longer come short of the glory of God. All right? We now have access. Do you understand? We can look at the world and we are changed. But it's even better. We have become the glory of God. Someone said, this is what, you know, I remember someone was grouping preachers. All right? There are preachers that speak like this. Oh, Lord God, how are you? And all those stuff. Do you understand? And then there are preachers that are very fervent. Jesus is coming again. They say there are preachers that speak fune. And they speak very nice. I'm brushing with God in Christ Jesus. Oh, glory to God. All right? And so when I say we have moved from just participating in his glory, but we have become the glory of God. You can think this is what preachers like that always say. No, it's in the word of God. Praise the Lord. It's in the word of God. The Bible says Jesus is the express image of the Father, the expression of his glory. Ephesians 1 verse 17. I want to show you a thought. 1 verse 17. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a prayer, but in that prayer, there is revelation. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, if you're there, say I'm there. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Say amen.
Amen.
Great. But look at what he says. Let's break down this prayer point. He says that the God of our Lord, you know, as a digression, when you study the word of God and you check the prayers of those that we are sure are in heaven, do you understand? Because someone can buy a prayer book, but you don't know where the writer is. But you check the prayer points of those that we know are in heaven. Jesus, Paul, you notice they didn't pray for carnal things. They didn't pray that God would give you house rent. They didn't pray that God would give you a car. They always prayed for revelation. Do you understand? They pray that we are strengthened with might. For a reason, the lesser is included in the greater. If you participate or you have received the greater, the lesser will be there too. Let me give you an example. Let's say I want to buy this home. And the owner said, no, you're not giving me. I said, how much do you want? They said, no amount can give us, can make us give it to you. I said, about $5 billion. They said, no. Now you know that's not possible. All right? And so I get upset. Then I buy the whole of Surulere. That means I have the hall. The lesser hall is included in the greater Surulere. And so when they pray these prayers, realize that this is the greater one. You can say, but why are we not praying that God will provide for us? God will give us house rent. No, that is the lesser. It is included in this greater. Praise the Lord. Let's look at this prayer point. He says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you. Let's stop there. Did you notice something? He says the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. He didn't say the glorious Father. He said the Father of glory. All right. Let's say this is Ladebi. And this is Ezine. And Ladebi is Ezine's father. All right. So, and she's the only child. And let's say I'm introducing Ladebi to Pings. And I say, this is Ladebi, the father of Chiamaka. What would you think? You think Ezine's name is what? Chiamaka. We are children of the living God. Do you understand? And when he's describing God, he could have said the father of PK and he'll be correct. Do you understand? He could have said God, Lord, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the father of Pastor AB, and he'll be correct. But he uses another term, the father of glory. What does that tell you? It means Pastor AB has become glory. Are you seeing that? So we've moved from trying to meet up with the glory of God. We now participate with the glory of God. And remember, it's just common sense. What I said, you become what you behold. If you behold the glory, then you become the glory. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what do I do with this information? On the earth, I'm a Christian. I'm born again. I have eternal life, the life of God. Yes, I am the glory of God. So how do I live this life? What are the easy things that I need to do? That I need to remind myself every day to ensure that I'm living the life. Go to Ephesians 4. Now we learned that there's an instruction. He says, imitate him. Praise the Lord. Are you paying attention to me? It's common sense. Jesus walked on this earth and he had the life of God. All right? And he was the glory of God. And the way he lived his life was recorded for us. So if I now have the life of God, and I have become the glory of God, then to live the life of God, I must learn from the person who lives that life. Are you seeing that? I must read about him, read from him. Whatever he says, I should begin to learn to say, praise the Lord. Whatever he does, I should begin to learn to do. If Jesus was not found somewhere, I should not be found there, praise the Lord. And that's why he is our example. Now, Ephesians 4, let's just do this really fast, because of time. And next week is a new month. So there should be no leftovers. 4 verse 17. If you are there, say I'm there. Those of you that did not come with Bible today. Sorry. Next week. All right. I read it. It says, this I say therefore. Listen. I'm closing now. So what does that mean? Pay attention to me. If you have been sleeping since, this is the time to wake up. Praise the Lord. If there's a breeze that keeps touching your forehead and making you begin to see visions, you're actually sleeping. Cast out that demon. Verse 17. It says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles. You know, we were here before. This was where we started from. All right. So we've come back. Okay. In the vanity of the mind. Verse 18. Having the understanding that can be narrated from the life of God to the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Verse 19. He's telling you what not to do. Do you understand? Because you're a Christian now. So this is how you live the life. The first rule in living the life of God is not to behave like unbelievers. An unbeliever cannot be a serious mentor to you because he's alienated from the life of God. If you like, argue from now to tomorrow and say, no, Bill Gates is my mentor. Story. An unbeliever cannot be a serious mentor to you. If you follow your mentor, do you want to follow him to where he's going to? Unbeliever is going to hell. Is that where you want to go to? Of course not. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe you can read the textbooks. Yeah, but I said cannot be a serious mentor. All right. Because that's what the Bible says. Verse 19. Are you with me? I'm not too fast, right?
So we don't know how to answer.
All right, verse 19. It says, who being past feelings have given themselves over to lasciviousness to walk all uncleanness with greediness. He said, unbelievers, they have taken away their feelings. You know, some people are so wicked. You have people who kidnap folks and kill them. It's quite high now. Do you understand? How is it possible? For some of us, we can't even think about it. How do you kill another person? But you see, they are past feelings. That's what he's saying. They don't feel anything anymore. Human beings are like Coke bottle to them. Just kill. Just kill. Especially the ones that cut body parts. Your past feelings. He's saying, don't be like them. Verse 20. It says, but ye have not so learned Christ. Now that you have received the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to learn how to live like him. He says, one proof that you are learning is that you do not follow unbelievers. You're not inspired by them. You're not intimidated by them. Verse 21. Pay attention. He says, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in what? Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and what? Alright. Verse 22. Now he's going to tell you what to do. He says that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and what? True holiness. So simple, because this is KJV. Please pay attention to me. Right? Please. He says, put off the old man, the old way of doing things, the old way you used to think. Maybe you say in your family, this is how things are. But now you're a Christian, take that away. Do you understand? He said, in our family, every 31st, we go to the village and sacrifice to the gods. Even though I'm a Christian, we do it. That's our culture. Put that away. You're a new person now. Do you understand? He says, put off the old man, the old lifestyle. He says, renew your mind. And then put on the new man. Do you understand? Now, you think, this is how I used to do things before. But I'm a Christian, so I'm going to stop doing that. So how should I start doing things? You start learning from the word. Do you understand? And then you start changing how you talk. You start changing how you think. For example, when you're a Christian, when you're an unbeliever, you could say anything. You could say, I don't die. And it's a joke. When you become a Christian, you realize that you're a good soldier of Christ. You only say the things God has said about you. He says you're a life-giving spirit. There's no death anywhere. Do you understand? So it says, put off the old man, the old way of doing things, the old friends, take them away. Renew your mind. And put on the new man. Praise the Lord. Yes. Put on the new man. I'll continue. All right. Verse 25. The instructions have started. I mean, he's going to give you instructions now. He says, wherefore, putting away what? Christians don't lie. Are you in this place? White lie, red lie, yellow lie, golden lie, big lie, giant lie, small lie, unhurtful lie. Christians don't lie. Are you in this place? There's nothing to fear. Some people lie because they're afraid. And it's not like, you can call someone right now who is in Ojolegba, and he's supposed to meet you by 9 a.m. And it is 9 a.m. But he's sitting in his house at Ikorodu. They call him, where are you? Who's Ojolegba? He's lying. Why? Because he's afraid of how you respond. Think about it. His fear is making him lie. Purposeless. Pointless. Christians don't lie because there is nothing to what? Fear. Say I'm at Ikorodu. Come and kill me now. That is bolder than lying. Have you seen some folks, especially those people, carpenters and the rest, you give them work to do. Where are you? You are close to your house. Till tomorrow, they are still close. Just lying. Think of people just lie, put themselves in trouble for no good reason. Christians don't lie. Praise the Lord. Your friend was not in class. Don't write her name there. Say, I'm helping my friend. No, you are lying. Do you understand? Christians don't lie. Praise the Lord. Say, no, but I lie for my brother. Don't lie for your brother. Do you understand? Yeah, it's quiet now.
On that day, God will not say, because you lied for your brother, all right, he will forgive you. It's the same standard. Don't lie. Do you understand? Don't do so. When you don't lie and you stay in God's word, you are showing more love than what you think in your mind. That's why I said vanity of their minds. That's how unbelievers think. But it's vanity. But you see, that's just general. Verse 25. It says, wherefore putting away what? Lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. He says, speak truth. Now, I like the way he put it. He didn't say that which is true. You understand? He says, speak truth. And he told you the truth is in Jesus. That's what he said earlier. That means you have to train yourself to speak the truth in the word. Like Jesus. All right? Peter came, held him somewhere in Mark chapter 8 and said, you will not die. This shall not be unto you. He had just said that he was going to Jerusalem. He will die. He will be buried. And in 3 days he will rise. Do you understand? And then Peter comes and says, no, master, this shall not be unto you. Don't say that. What Peter was saying sounded nice, but that was not the truth of the scriptures. According to the scriptures, he should die. Another example. Lazarus was dead. Jesus said he was sleeping. Are you seeing that? That's speaking truth. So speaking truth is not what I see. Do you understand? Should be, I saw it, let me say it. No, it's sticking with the word. Speak truth to your neighbor. Do you understand? Speak truth. Where is your faith? Speak the truth of the word. That's what he's saying. And of course, the truth of the word means that if your neighbor is stealing, you should tell him not to steal. That is the truth of the word. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't say, my head is about to burst, I'm about to die. That's not speaking truth. He says, that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. That is truth. He says, that spirit will do what? Some of you, you need to go and look at that verse. Go and look at it. There are some verses you should just say, so this is in the Bible. He says, that same spirit will vitalize your mortal body. That same spirit. And he has a CV that we can hold on to. I told you guys, Jesus died for 3 days. What happened to his body? You think his body was fresh all 3 days? If it was a real death, it started decaying. But when he resurrected, he didn't say, Peter, bring bandage, let's hold this skin first. No. He had only scars in his hand and on his side. Every other thing, new. Fresh. He says it was the spirit that caused it. You have not died yet. When he died, that means his liver stopped working. Do you understand? His organs stopped working. But when he resurrected, the spirit vitalized it. He died for 3 days. You have not died yet. That means your own is easier to do. So if it is migraine, remember the person that died. The spirit, that same spirit inside of you brought him up and it was okay. You that you have not died, your case is simple. So you know what? You speak truth. Praise the Lord. You speak truth. You don't say, I don't know what is wrong with my head. They say, it's only me that have it. No. Don't say what they say you have. Say what God says you have. Praise the Lord. Fast. Verse 26. He says, be angry. Someone says, thank God. Thank God I can vex now. Says, be angry and sin not. What is he trying to say? Remember, James says, be slow to anger. He says, because anger does not work the direction of God. Let me just give you that scripture for those of you that are interested. James 1, verse 19 to 20. He says, be slow to anger. But now this one is saying, be angry, but don't sin. So he's trying to say, even if you're angry, don't act upon your anger. You might be angry, but don't say anything. Do you understand? You might be angry, but don't do anything. Oh, see, if I, you kill somebody, now you're in jail. You say, I don't know. No. He says, you can be angry because Jesus said offenses will come. The Bible says the Pharisees provoked Jesus. Provoked him. In fact, there was once he became angry with them, Mark 3. That's what the Bible says. There was a man who had a withered hand.
And he asked them, is it good to do well on the Sabbath day or not? They didn't say anything. Wicked people. It was because of Jesus. Think about a man with his hand like this had the opportunity to be healed. Jesus said, should we do well? Because, you know, they said on Sabbath day, don't do anything. So he said, okay, should we do well on the Sabbath day or not? They kept quiet. Of course you should do well. Do you understand? But because they disliked Jesus so much, they kept quiet. The Bible says he looked upon them with anger. Because these hypocrites, on the Sabbath day, they will lose their donkey and go and give him water. But they thought Jesus telling the man, stretch out your hand. Stretching forth, that's the work they're angry about. He was angry with them. So the point is, you can be angry, but don't act upon it. Do you understand? Yeah. Don't say hurtful words. Don't go and slap somebody. Mistake me slap, I'm a man. He said, you're a soldier for Christ. Okay. Verse 36. He says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon you. That means quickly calm down. Have you ever heard be calming down? It's in the Bible. Do you understand? Quickly calm down. Alright? Don't sleep with anger. Now you talk. Has it ever happened to you before? I'm closing now. Where you have an argument with someone. And while you guys were having the arguments, you finish the argument. When you went back home, you started remembering points. So, but the person is not there, so you start speaking to yourself. Speaking the points to yourself. It's okay, but calm down before night. Do you understand? Alright. It says, be angry, but sin not. And let not the sun go down. Now, if you look down, okay, let's finish this. Verse 27 says, neither give place to the devil. Give no place to Satan. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Don't talk to Satan. Alright? Don't try to understand Satan. I know people that they study demons, different types of demons. I always wonder, if God wanted us to study demons, there will be a chapter dedicated to them. They say, and all the study, most of them can cast out demons. They just know, when the person is demonstrating, this is the spirit of lies. That's all. Useless information. He says, don't give place to Satan. Do you understand? In your house, don't give place to Satan. You hear your sibling is sick. You say, devil, out. When you look at Jesus' life, he didn't have time. Anywhere Satan showed up, get out. Do you understand? At times, he wanted to ask a question. And then Satan starts displaying. That's in Matthew 17, Luke 9, Mark 9. Go check it. He wanted to ask a question to the boy's father who had epilepsy. But immediately the devil saw him, he started displaying, started running. Give no place to the devil. He didn't answer it, Satan. Do you understand? He finished asking his question. When did it start? When he was done with the answer he wanted. Do you understand? So he did not let that devil influence his actions. If I wanted to ask you a question and then someone starts displaying, someone say, wait. You demon, you have started again. Do you understand? Not you, of course. Alright? But he didn't do that. Because the devil is inferior. When he was done talking with the boy's father, then he said, alright, deaf and dumb spirit, get out. All the warning. Jesus gave one commandment and the devil was gone. Praise the Lord. So your life, give no place to the devil. Don't be managing the headache. Say, I'm managing the headache until it becomes cancer. Now you have 3 days to live. You look at your property. It's only bedroom sleepers. Give no place to the devil. Praise the Lord. Give no place to the devil in your speech. Don't say what Satan wants you to say. Say, I've given up. I'm tired. Don't say that. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So how can you give up? Give no place to the devil. Praise the Lord. Because time is gone, let's see how we can continue this next week. But did you learn something today? Go ahead and talk to the Lord and thank him.